Hi, y'all. You're listening to Ordinary People, Ordinary Things with me, your host, Melissa Radke, the ordinariest of us all.
Welcome to Ordinary People, Ordinary Things. I'm from an ordinary town, and I was raised by ordinary people, especially the women in my life. They aren't movie stars. None of them are millionaires, not even thousandaires that I know of. They are women like me, like you, who wake up every day, trust a God they can't see, get their feelings hurt, hurt others, forgive and are forgiven, and start over the next day with mercies new each morning. They are ordinary people, raised by ordinary people, serving an extraordinary God. And I love them. I mean, I love them deep. I love them because they love me and pray for me, because they let me color their hair and they forgave me when it turned green. I love them because they make cookie dough and they don't cook it, and because they look just as bad in a swimsuit as I do. In my book, Eat Cake, Be Brave, you will find out all about them in a chapter that I called Chicken Fried Women. That's right, Chicken Fried Women. It's about how these Southern women are a little bit scarred on the outside, a little crunchy, but oh so tender on the inside. It's about how the women in my family come with spice and are even kind of salty, and how if I had to pick a family, well, I'd pick them every time. So today, I want to introduce you to my chicken fried women.
Hi, y'all.
Hi.
Okay, you're going to be hearing from four different women today, myself included, five. We'll just go around the room and we'll just kind of introduce ourselves. And maybe you can tell what your relation is to me, but we'll just start right here to my right.
I'm Annette Lee and I'm Melissa's mama. I like it when she calls me Big Mom.
Oh, no.
And we've started.
And it took a turn.
You can do that. You can edit that. That just came across.
Go ahead.
I'm Mary Wilman and I'm your grandmother.
And you are the, what do you call it?
Matriarch.
The matriarch.
The granddad.
The queen bee.
The original chicken fried.
That's right.
The original recipe.
That's my granny. Okay, go ahead.
I'm Melba White, and I'm your aunt. I'm Annette's sister and granny's favorite daughter.
I'm Meredith Baxter, and I'm your first cousin, Melba's daughter.
And has appeared with me on my third episode ever called, what was it called?
Over My Bread Body.
Over, dang, somebody is a astute listener.
Me.
We have introduced my Aunt Melba to podcasts and she's never been the same. She's like,
that's
out
right.
of all the podcasts I listen
love
to.
Love them.
I know. She's like, I listen to true crime, sometimes you, true crime. So, but thank you for sometimes listening. All right, couple of quick questions. Okay, first of all, let me just say for the listener, there are other women in our family, by the way, who could have easily been a part of this. Yep. They're strong. They have a story. But the truth is, the five of us have always been really vocal with each other. Our experiences a lot are intertwined. And so I call y'all chicken fried women because you are a little bit, you know, we may be battered on the outside with our scars and our stories, but we're tender on the inside. We got a little spice to us. Granny, would you agree?
Yes.
Don't try to make everybody think that you are prim and proper. Do not do that. It's not true. Okay? So that's kind of where I get chicken fried women from. But we are actually a lot of women in our family. There's a lot of us. And they're all strong, too. Have their own set of stories. They could have been here. But they're clearly smarter than any of us. And said no.
And we couldn't get them all in this room.
That's right. That's true. All right, guys. Let me ask you some questions. Ready? Who is the loudest of the bunch?
You.
Yeah.
Granny, who would you say?
You.
Okay. All right. Great. Who is the quietest of the group?
Well, none of us are really quiet.
I would say Granny, though.
Granny.
She has moments of, like,
of outbursts.
Yeah.
Of outage.
But otherwise, she's rather...
Like, she's real quiet with that mic in front of her.
She's a ticking time
bomb. But, yeah, she gonna come forth.
I would I would agree with that, Granny. Okay, here's an interesting question. Do we have any long-standing family traditions? What comes to mind when I ask that?
You know, I thought about that because I think you mentioned that here a while back. And we don't have any like little things that we do before every meal, or with little things that, you know, at Christmas we do this and so or whatever. But I think everything in our family is centered around God. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a tradition that not a lot of families can say. And I'm proud to say that we all, you know, come Sunday, if anybody's going to rob our house, they need to do it on a Sunday because none of us will be there.
That's good, Mama. That's true. Granny, do you think we have any? Can you think of any over the years?
We always get together at Christmas, but my relatives knew if they came, they better plan something on Sunday because we was going to church.
That's right. Okay. Do y'all think of anything? I know what you're thinking of, Meredith. We had a tradition.
And it died.
We had a tradition, and Meredith is still not over it, that we don't do it anymore.
Tell
Go
us
ahead.
What it is, Mary.
Every Christmas Eve, we would have our time together as a family, and then we would go and bless other families that were struggling or having a tough time by Christmas caroling. And I think it was a very good representation of who we are as a family. Music is a big part of it. God is a big part of it. And celebrating Christmas is huge for us.
We started when Daddy got ill and he couldn't go. We kind of started preferring him during that situation. And I think we kind of let that ball go.
We did let the ball go, which I hate because we are an extremely musical family. And we would always talk about what houses we were going to go to. And they were always somebody whose the son was in the army and he couldn't come home. Or remember the time we went to that one family's house and their daughter had just passed away. It was their first Christmas without her. Or somebody that's kind of bedridden. And we always chose kind of wisely. I felt like I love that. And I want my kids to remember that.
That's the biggest thing for me, is just wanting my kids to have that same. You know, I remember it wasn't just the Christmas caroling. We would go around the holidays every year. Mom would take me out of school and we would go sing at the nursing home.
Yes.
And we would sing for all of the people there that didn't have family coming to see them. And maybe some of them did, but they loved it. And I remember making Christmas cards for them and I would take them. And I want my kids to have those same kind of memories.
Standing her up on the piano stool and having her sing, and you too.
Yeah.
Mel, but how often would you say that we see each other or spend time together? Like any given, I'm not talking about like, I know your eyes are big.
It's just because, me and you or all of us?
No, all of us. Like just go through a week of, I'll see them on this or whatever. I mean, I think people don't truly understand how often we see each other.
So much that we make each other sick. I mean, well, we get together on every holiday as a family, the whole family, and then we probably see each other a couple of times a week mm-hmm. for extended visits.
Yeah. So there's lunch during the day that occasionally Mom will text me and say,
every birthday we get together for lunches.
She'll say, you want to go grab lunch today? I'm meeting Granny. So we'll do that. Then there's birthdays and George Washington's birthday and like all these most ridiculous things we get together for. On top of, my kids love going to Granny's house on Sunday evenings. That has become a thing. We go to Granny's house on Sunday evenings. The kids just run around and play. We sit at the table sometime and play dominoes. Although a couple of weeks ago, Melba talked us into branching out and we all went to Arby's. We went to the Arby's.
That was awesome.
We have the meat. Do it, Melba.
We have the meats. Sounds just like a man.
Here's your one chance, Fancy. Don't let us down. Granny, what are your, do you think we see each other a lot, or would you prefer that we're at your house more or less?
Oh, I love to see y'all come, and I love to see the children play, and I love to hear them play hide and seek.
And she'll stand up out of her chair and grab all the stuff off her little table beside her chair and go put it on the, she'll say, here come the kids. And she gathers all of her belongings and goes and puts them on top of the fireplace mantle.
Melba, speaking of her belongings beside her chair, because you're with Granny a lot in her house, let me ask you a question. Can you tell us the story of the chapstick?
Sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, that was my granny telling her daughter to shut up.
I was using the chapstick one night. She has just plain old chapstick, the little black tube of chapstick. And I was putting it on my lips and everything was fine. And the next day I came in and I sat down in the chair beside her and she was running the chapstick around in her ear and on the back of her ear. And then she moved it to the other side and ran it inside and around her ears.
I said, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, Mother, my granny is rubbing her ear as we tell this
what
story.
What are you doing with that chapstick? And she said, well, sometimes my ears get a little dry and I just like to keep them moistened.
You need to like label that chapstick, like ear stick. Separate from the chapstick.
Saturday, Brandon came over with Corley.
Why don't you buy your own chapstick?
I will, but I won't keep it by your chair.
Brandon, what?
He came over with Corley, and she reached up and got the chapstick and was fixing it. He said, don't use that chapstick. Put it back. Don't use it.
She hid my house shoes, and I didn't
She was bitter about that chapstick.
Where did you find them?
Up under the couch.
Melba did it? Melba hit them?
No,
you hit them?
No, Corley wore them around the house.
She loves to play hide and seek, and there was nobody to play with her, so she got Melba to hunt. And she hid everything that she could get her hands on.
Remy went through that, and she would hide stuff and not even let us know that she hid anything. And her favorite was the remote. Or keys.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And we would
that.
Hunt for days.
Couldn't ever find the remote.
See, I can't get down on my knees to look under the couch. I didn't think about pushing it. But I said, if you look around and we find them, please show them to me. And I'd have found them.
Okay, y'all, as you remember, now a lot of people weren't at the social, well, a lot of people were at the social event that we had this past May, but for those who weren't, we did a panel. We all came up on the stage, we had a moderator, she asked us some questions, and we all answered them based off of this chapter that I wrote in the book. And I don't know if you guys were, you know, some people get a little bit nervous on the stage. I certainly don't think that's true of our family, but if you maybe were a little rattled, or maybe you never noticed that... We had several in the audience crying that day. In fact, a couple of women actually had to get up and leave the room. I remember one in particular left the room. And afterwards, they came up to me to apologize for that, for crying, because it was a fun time. Would y'all agree that we had a great time doing it? But here's the deal. Do I think that they're jealous? No. Do I think that our society is full of broken families? Yes. Why do you guys think that we have this? Because this is very unusual. It is unusual for people to see this and experience this. They miss it in their own lives, especially as women age. They lose their mothers. They lose that aunt that they grew up with or the grandmother that raised them. And so I think a lot of people look at our family and, like I said, I don't think they're jealous of it, but I think that there's something missing because we do live in a society with a lot of broken families. So y'all talk about that. This is unusual. Why do we have this? Why are we lucky? Why are we blessed? Mom, can you answer that?
I would hate to say it's luck, but I think it goes back to how we were raised. You know, we weren't allowed to say, I don't like my sister, I don't like my brother, or, you know, we weren't allowed to say things like that. We weren't allowed to be critical. And one of my friends always says, you know, when the Wilmans have something wrong, they circle the wagons.
And we are, I'm a Radke, but she's talking about our family name.
The Wilmans, yeah. And I think that's true because we've learned to support each other and not look for our support in other areas of society. Would y'all agree with that? Or
mm-hmm. Meredith, do you have anything to add?
I think it's not just luck. I do think that's part of it, but I think we work at it. I mean, I think we have to. There were times when I was growing up where being that for each other was really easy. But now that I'm older and life just happens, we have to work at it sometimes. We have to work through our issues. And I think that's something that we have learned together. We've grown together and learned how to do that. So you and I, we've been through many a fight and we face it and we get it out there and it's awful and nasty.
And some of them last a long time.
Some of them last a while, but we have it out and we work at it. And so when we get together, I think for us, we are very strong personalities. We play hard, we fight hard, but we enjoy each other. And I think to have with your family what you have with your closest friends, which is no matter how much time you spend apart, when you get together, it's like you didn't miss any time. I think for us, it's like that. But I think it's because we've worked at it. We haven't let the little things slide or things just fester, or we've taken care of them and gotten them out in the open and moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we stop doing that, we would start to notice more division. And luckily, we haven't yet.
Granny, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I know families that would move to Houston just to get away from their family. They didn't want to face the problem.
And that happens more than...
And then when they get older, they really need somebody, but they don't have anybody.
I get that. I hear that. I've seen it happen. But I don't understand what played into us saying, this is worth it. It's difficult, but it's worth it. I mean, I'm extremely different. My personality is different than Melba, like night and day, and you and Meredith. But we just say, okay, we set all that aside. We work through it. We respect each other's differences. But where did that come from? I mean, do we just say that is a God thing? That is a heritage thing?
Oh, it's very much a God thing. And I think it's also a testament to the marriages in our family that we haven't had a lot of broken marriages that would cause the division that you normally see in a lot of families.
That's a good point.
We've been very blessed to be sheltered from that. And, you know, to have marriages that they have their rough times just like anybody, but they fight through it. And I'm glad to have seen that as an example in front of me. But I think that happens in a lot of families. That causes bitterness and that causes people to run from the situation. And, you know, but we haven't even really seen that with kids in our family. A lot of rebellion and separation. And luckily, you know, everybody's kind of come back into the fold.
Now, that's not to say that we are a family with no divorces and no wayward children. Heaven help us, that's not at all the case. What we are saying is that we didn't let that be our defining factor.
We worked on it.
That's right, we worked on it.
And we talk about it. That's a big thing. We get everything out and don't keep it inside. And when you talk about it, you can work through it.
And we never, 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 ever stop praying.
That's good. Melba, talk to us a little bit about, because we've mentioned it several times, but reconciliation and forgiveness. Did you see it modeled for you? Are you good at it? Do you still have a ways to come on it? What does it mean for you within the family?
I've always had a lot of trouble with forgiveness. I had trouble holding grudges. I just would carry things for a very long time. And I think my husband he taught me to forgive. And he forgave in some really tough circumstances that I was Job's wife, you know, just curse God and die. I mean, you know, I didn't want him to forgive. And he did it. He forgave. He went and told them he forgave. And he held no grudge. And I watched that. And I think I'm learning. But, you know, that's a hard thing for me. But I think it's necessary in a family.
And you're learning after he's actually passed. So that really, I mean, interestingly enough, is he left you with many things, but man, he left you with a lesson that you're still learning today. And he's passed 5 years or more. So, wow. What about Granny or Mom? I mean, either of you, reconciliation and forgiveness in the family. Hard for you? Hate to do it? Glad to do it? Easy? What?
It's hard for me also. It's kind of like I forgive verbally, and I do, but I have trouble with the forgetting. And I'm just now learning that you're not going to forget. But in order to forgive, you know, I just keep saying it because over and over, eventually one of those is going to take. Mm. And I do believe that. I speak it, you know, by faith that I do forgive that person.
Granny, is it hard for you?
My husband was very good at making things right. And that helped me. I was from a little family, not very many in the family. But I had to forgive and forget. And if I'd keep praying, my sister would say, how do you know that happened? I said, oh, I've almost forgotten all about it. The Lord help me forget it. The hurt part.
Yeah, that's good. Why put forth an effort to stay so close? Why is it that important? I mean, Meredith, honestly, think about it. You know, you're somewhat newly married. You don't even hit your 5-year mark. You have 2 small children. You have a job and a career and a ministry position in the church. I mean, you got a lot going on. You could easily tuck yourselves away, like a lot of families do, us four no more, and not put forth an effort to make it work with every freaking cousin and uncle and aunt. And, you know, why? Why do it?
Because I love them. I love them. And I want to have this. I want to have this kind of close-knit family, not just for me. I want it for my kids. I want it for each other. I think it's important. I think it's what has kept each of us on the straight and narrow at different times when we needed it the most, when we were hurting or when we were lonely or when we were down or when we were lost. It's kept us true. It's kept us honest. And I want to have that in my family. I want that kind of You know, one thing that we didn't really talk about is accountability. We're an accountability system for each other, whether we want it or not.
I was just about to say, that's not always asked for, by the way.
No, but we're a group of women that we can't keep our mouths shut. And so we're going to tell you what we think, good, bad, or ugly, but it's going to be honest most of the time. And I think that that can be a very double-edged sword because it hurts. But at the same time, it's a very good thing. And I don't want my life without it.
Mm, that's good. Would anybody answer that differently than her?
I think that's the way we all feel. And besides that, the scripture says to live at peace with all men. If it's at all possible, live at peace with all men. And the way I handle that is, if I'm not at peace with them, I try not to be around them for a while.
I think we all take that approach in the family. Hi, everyone. Did you know that Ordinary People, Ordinary Things is being brought to you by my new book, Eat Cake, Be Brave, coming out July 17th. I have two questions for you. Number one, have you pre-ordered yet? Go to Amazon.com or wherever you buy books and order one for you and your bestie and your mom and your aunt. That's all I'm going to say about that. And number two, join me every day for the 30 days leading up to the book release on 30 Days of Live. You can find me on Instagram Live at 12:30 Central or on Facebook Live at 2:30 Central. Am I going to talk about the book every day? Not every day. Am I going to talk about my husband every day? Not every day. Am I going to talk about my bad kids every day? Probably. See y'all there.
Let me tell you a little story Daddy told me, and I always remember this in our family, but it really had nothing to do with our family, but this somebody kept coming to Daddy's yard, and they would ride their horse up in the yard. Do you remember this, Mom?
I sure do.
And he got so mad because they made big holes in the yard with their horse hooves, and it just made him so mad, and he was just ready to, you know, go looking for them. He didn't really know who it was because they came by after he went to bed at night. And he got so mad. And he told me, he said, Melba, one night I was praying. And he said, I pray different things every night. But this night I was praying the Lord's Prayer. And he said, I came to the part where it said, Father, forgive me. What is it exactly? Father, forgive me as I forgive.
Father, forgive
us our sins
them.
As we forgive yeah. those who sin against us.
And he said, I just started weeping because here it was. I didn't even know who this person was. And I was holding this grudge and I was mad at them. And I couldn't get forgiveness from the Father until I forgave them. And he said, I just had to let it go. And he told me that one night in relation to something, you know, I was upset about in our family. So I always remember that, you know, I do love them. It is, I do it for love, but I also do it because it's the Word. Mm. And, you know, we're supposed to live by the Word. Either we live it or we don't live it, you know?
I don't know. I think that's a great point. We either live it or we don't. We live it when our family is at odds. We live it when an uncle is getting a divorce. We live it when that child graduates from high school and says, forget all y'all. I hope I never see you again and runs. We live it then or we just don't live it at all. And I think that's what's so important is that we live it or we don't live it. It's like believing the Bible. Either you believe it all or you don't believe it.
How do you think we need to speak to the fact, though, that there are some people that they can make the decision to forgive and they can make the decision to let something go, but the other person may not have chosen that yet. Mm-hmm. So it may not mean reconciliation for them yet. And I think it's important to speak to that because you don't want people to feel that they're living contrary to God's word because they haven't reconciled that situation. Sometimes they have to let it go and they have to get that right with God between them and him. And then the rest, they have to give it time to breathe. And we've had to do that as a family too. We have to give it time to rest and eventually, you know, we come full circle. But well, I think
like
that
Annette said, if I can't get along with them, I just won't be around them for a little while, you know? I mean, we have to do that. I think families require some space.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we're just not ready to give it up yet.
And some people, they say they want some ministry, some big, grand, and glorious ministry, when the Bible tells us of one ministry that we all should have, the ministry of reconciliation. So I don't feel like you ought to pray for any other ministries until you're able to conquer that one. And I'm still working at it. So,
you know what? I think that is actually a really great point. I mean, Mom, honestly, which you give me wisdom all the time in my life. But I mean, how can we ask for blessings in our marriage? How can we ask for grace in our parenting or whatever if we can't even forgive within our own family?
That's what the Bible says. If you have something against your brother or your sister, you got to get that right before you even come back to the altar with your other needs. That's what the Bible says.
Well, I will say that for those listening and they're like, oh, they're just saying this. They don't have their issues. Which if anybody has ever followed me on Facebook or Instagram, you know I got some issues. As do the women in this room. And they've made no bones about it. I mean, it wasn't 6 months ago, Granny, that I heard you say, crying, we just as a family need to come back to the altar. We just need to come back to the altar. We're constantly praying for the revival of our family, that reconciliation continues to happen, that forgiveness continues to be present and grace extended in our lives. This is always going on. But I actually was told by one of y'all, we were talking about a situation in our family once, and I was told by one of y'all, you said, look, I'm just telling you, you have to love. It was actually Melba. She said to me, I'm just telling you, love. Above all, love. At the end, love. When you read it in the word, love. When you talk to them on the phone, love. It's got to come down to love. When we don't even stinking mean it sometime, love. And I remember going home and taking that before God. And this is like a really simple little thing, but I'm always looking for a great book to read. And I found a book that had just come out. I mean, Melba, it probably came out 2 days before you and I talked about this. And the book is by Bob Goff, if anybody wants to get it. And it's called Everybody Always.
I want to read that. I've seen people talk about it.
It is flipping me upside down right now. Because it doesn't matter how well we think we are loving. We aren't even matching Jesus. And this is what he said. He said, if you go into a relationship with an agenda, it isn't love. I don't care how much you say you love them. If you have an agenda when you're talking to them, that isn't love. Because Jesus never had an agenda. If they followed him, if they gave his life, if they surrendered to him, great. That wasn't his agenda. His agenda was to love. And we saw what love did. And so that is the thing that I just walk around with so much. And Mom, you're right. I mean, reconciliation starts in our homes and in our families. But we can't continue to walk around with an agenda.
Well, the Bible says, and I remember God teaching me this one time. He said the entire law from Genesis to Revelation hangs on one word, love. All of the law, all of the everything in the Word of God is nothing if you don't have that love. Because he's saying, I built everything on love. All of the laws I have for you, all the principles, all the blessings hangs on one thing, and it's love. So it's like we're just tinkling brass if we're not loving.
And I feel sometimes like this is a little bit of a, even this podcast, I mean, come on, it's just a podcast. It's not breaking any records. We're not breaking in millions doing this podcast. But even just doing this and getting the word out for the listeners that will listen to this, I think even this is God saying, I'm proud of your reconciliation efforts. I'm proud you keep talking. I'm proud you keep going over even when you don't want to go over. I'm proud you keep loving even when you're angry. I mean, I'm proud that we're all here and doing this. And Granny, as the queen bee, you have to be a little proud too.
I am. Count my blessings every day. But I heard of a minister that was new in his church, and he went on Saturday night and prayed and prayed and prayed. And he said, I need something real deep for Sunday morning, you know. And finally he broke down, and the Lord spoke to him and said, just preach love. This is what this church needs. And he did, and a revival broke out.
Mm, that's precious.
They were waiting for that message.
Melba, what do you hope that you, when you're gone, which by the way, you can't see Mount Melba, but she's nowhere near like being gone. Well, I mean,
wow,
nobody
you.
Can see you. So they're
glad
like,
we gave you that.
They're like, oh, is
that, threw that out there.
Is Aunt Melba like, you know, 102? No, not at all. But just saying, what is it you hope you left instilled in Meredith or your son, Brandon, or me or your sister? What do you hope is the thing that carries on?
Living for God. And living by the word, because I think you're not going to go wrong when you live by the word. I've talked to them a lot about this and, you know, in raising their children. And there's a lot of things, you know, that the world says, you raise them the way you want to raise them. No, no, you really are supposed to raise them by the word of God. And everything should line up by the word of God. And if it doesn't, then you're not raising them God's way, you're raising them your way. And there's blessing in doing God's way. Doing everything in your life God's way. There's great blessing in it.
That's right. Granny?
Well, I hadn't given it a whole lot of thought, but I'm proud of what we've accomplished. We could do a lot more, but I'm proud of what's been accomplished and that we go when we really would like to stay home and cover our head sometime, but we just keep on going one day at a time, and every day gets a little bit better.
What do you hope your grandkids are left with? What do you hope they remember?
I hope they knew that we love them, that everybody loves them. Mm-hmm. There's lots of little children. I hear of it every once in a while that don't have anybody that'll even check on them if they don't show up at home. Yeah. But we love them enough that we're concerned about them.
Mm-hmm. Mom, what is the one thing you find the most unique about this family?
Our sense of humor.
Oh, it's unique, all right.
And also, you know, not a lot of families grew up singing together. And we sang together all our lives until Daddy passed away. And now you young ones are singing and, you know, but it was something about the synergy of the family and the sound, I think.
And Mom hollering at us from the bedroom, that's flat. You sound flat.
Shut up. Sing something they want to hear.
Yeah, now that's a famous one of yours.
Yeah.
We would practice for a wedding or a funeral in which they had told us what they wanted.
And Mother wanted one day at a time every day.
And you would say, sing something they really want to hear. Anything?
No.
Meredith, what do you think is unique?
You know the saying, birds of a feather flock together? That's who we are. We do a lot together. Families don't do that. I mean, we go to church together. We celebrate together. We go on together.
Girls,
we pray together. We
girls
go
Christmas shopping trip every year.
We do. We
another
do a lot
thing
together.
That we do together is we pick on each other a lot.
Mercilessly.
But
lot.
It makes us tougher because we pick on each
Look
other.
Look how thick our skin is.
Really merciless.
We've had a lot of practice.
I mean, honestly, I can tell you, Melba, when you married Donald, Meredith, when you married Jake, me with David, these men coming into this family,
they don't understand it.
They are like, what in the world? And I remember Jake coming into the family, and Jake is naturally by nature very quiet because Meredith's very not. And Jake's very soft-spoken and just meek and kind. And I know you're laughing at that, but so far he's got us fooled. But I can remember I literally said to a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, but he's our pastor. I said, but he's so quiet, like he never talks. And he looked at Jeremy looked at me and said, do you have any idea what you people are like? He goes, I can't possibly imagine marrying into that family. He said, honestly, I pray about it before I go over for a meal. I mean, he's like, y'all are crazy. Y'all are loud. Y'all tease and you're sarcastic. And he said, now I get it, but I can't imagine the poor soul.
Well, I think we need to paint a picture a little bit because when you say we all get together, there's five of us in the room, but there's no less than, 27. What, 27 of us when we get together, all of us. We're loud. We have a lot of kids. There's always food, mostly fried.
Shut your mouth, Meredith. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's desserts. I'm sorry, I forgot the desserts. But we are a lot. We're a lot to take, but we do a lot together. I mean, when Jake and I first got married, I mean, every weekend I was doing something with my family and he was like, is this, well, not married when we were dating. He was like, is this all the time? Or like, are there special people in town right now? Well, we all live on the same street. Mm-hmm. So, no, nobody special is in town. And he was like, but you went to the movies with the girls last weekend and you're going shopping with the girls this weekend. And, you know, you want to go out with your family to celebrate a birthday. It's constant. But that's just who, I think that's very unique. People don't have that.
I mean, we have a group text.
And I thought it was normal.
We just have a group text that's called the girls and I know who it is.
Right.
It's all y'all.
We only have two that live out of town now. And there's 27 of us in town. Most of us in the same little street. Then we only have two
and the
that
same
live.
Church.
Yeah.
Like that
all
doesn't.
All in the same church.
Okay.
People don't have that.
So I drove David home the first time he was going to meet my parents. We left college. We were driving down our little blacktop road. And I said, that's where my Aunt Melba and my Uncle Donald live and Meredith and Brandon. And over here, my cousin Michelle, and she just got married to Jimmy. And he's, you know, I don't remember what year this was. That's her house. And then if you turn right here, okay, so now we're on my street. This is my granny and papa right here. And then back there is my Uncle Dave and my Aunt Melinda and their son Tyler. And he looked at me and he said, I need to know right now if this is like a cult thing.
Are they serving Kool-Aid?
He's like, does everybody wear denim? What's going on, man?
Sounds like the Waltons. Good night.
Yeah, good night, John Boy. And I said, it's not a cult. And then that night, he was with my whole family. And then I took him back to the hotel and he kissed me goodnight. And he said, so it is a cult. I was like, yeah, it kind of is.
For a copy of today's show notes, visit our website at ordinarypeopleordinarythings.com. You can also keep up with all the latest by following my mom on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Y'all know she is too old to do Snapchat. Also, I would love it if you would go to wherever you buy books and pre-order a copy of my mom's book coming out in July, entitled Eat Cake, Be Brave. You're going to be disappointed that it isn't about cake, but you are going to love what she has to say about how she decided to live a life of courage and bravery. I'm so proud of her. And though she will probably not sell as many as I will when I finally write a tell-all book about her someday, I do hope you'll help her out.
Okay, a couple of funny questions. Think outside the room. I'm talking about the big family, okay? Oddest person in the family, on the count of three, everybody say it. One, two, three. Uncle Dave.
Oh, Granny, did we hurt your feelings? No. He's your son.
Did that offend you in any way? Would you say he's odd?
Yeah.
Okay, so we literally all said David.
But we're wild about him.
Oh, but here's the thing about Uncle Dave. This is what makes him so odd. He's going to hear this and be as pleased as punch that we all said his name.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he's going to be thrilled.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, you know what? I made it on the podcast.
And if we talk about Eddie.
Oh, his dog, his wiener dog. We bought him a shirt one Christmas that said, I love my wiener. And it was like ironic shirt. And he wore it every day to work.
He literally wore it to
and
work.
And he got another one that says, have you seen my wiener today?
That better be it. He walks it every day.
I think we should state for the record, it's a wiener dog. Okay. Best cook in the family, Melba, go.
Annette.
Granny.
Annette.
Meredith.
Melissa.
You literally
I'm
just...
I'm saying that because I'm mad.
At my mother?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the last time I went to her house, she promised me homemade chocolate chip cookies and she didn't make them. So now you're my favorite.
You know, I forgot it.
I haven't had them in a very long time.
Oh, no. No, no. You remember what happened? I cooked them and told you they were there and you said, I can't come today. I'll come by tomorrow.
Hey, Meredith, the last time I made homemade chocolate chip cookies, you tasted one and you said, Melissa... They're so good. I think your mother's losing her touch.
They weren't your mom's. No, I didn't like yours as much as hers.
That's not true. You said mother is losing her touch because she doesn't follow the directions on the back. By the way, for anyone watching who's like, I wonder what the recipe is. It's a little thing called
Nestle Tolausen.
Yeah, that's our fancy recipe. My mother's never watched.
I knew you were going to say that.
My mother's never watched one episode of Friends. So she's sitting beside me right now going, what are y'all talking about? She's mouthing those words. Anyway, best cook, I would say, is my mother, but I'm hot on her trail.
That's true.
I was going to say Melba.
Melba's a very good cook.
Well, just face it, all the women can cook.
Now,
because we can all eat.
Now,
I can't cook.
That's not true.
Mom, quit trying to make her feel better. She's readily admitting
she's good at a lot of
things. Well, I don't cook for a lot of people anymore, and I'm kind of lost.
There's nobody that can cook homemade vegetable and beef soup like mother.
Okay, my mother is trying to make her mother feel better. But the truth of the matter is, if you go to my granny's house, like if she calls you and says, I made dinner for you, here's what it's going to be. It's going to be cottage cheese, three wieners, half a pot roast,
and tortillas. And somewhere in there is pimento cheese.
Pimento cheese and maybe some Jell-O. Mm-hmm. It's going to be that all put together.
But the Jell-O has things in it.
Oh, man, that's called fruit, idiot.
Goofy. No. It's fruit?
It is fruit.
What do you think? Marshmallows or something?
Oh.
Well, there is a marshmallow Jell-O salad.
Well, I just mean there's things in it. Like, it's not just Jell-O.
To Meredith.
It's like
Meredith's a Puritan.
Fruit is a thing to Meredith.
Jell-O is a fruit to me.
Meredith's like, it's cherry Jell-O, so I'm done for the day.
By the way, if you want to make homemade chocolate chip cookies, mm-hmm. you can save yourself a lot of effort if you make them for me, because I only eat the dough.
Granny, what are you doing in your ear?
I need my medicine.
Your chapstick, you mean?
Whatever I put in there.
What does that mean, Granny? What are you putting in there?
I have a prescription. If I don't have that, I put chapstick. If your ears itch, you do the same thing.
We're all laughing because she just propped both of her hands on her hips and, like, gave me the look.
Our time is up.
You ready to go? Family member that is never on time on the count to three. One, two, three.
Michelle. I'm nervous. pretty bad.
Who?
Melba. You don't get there on time on Sunday.
Because on time to you is like literally 45 minutes early.
Mother, where were we when the first notes played Sunday?
Well, we did better the last two times, but we've been doing bad.
Okay, Meredith, tell them about the time you went to go help them get out of the car on a Sunday.
Oh, so I always like kind of watch for them to show up, and I go out and I help Granny get inside because sometimes she struggles with the steps at church. So I walked out to the car. Mom had to run in because she was working in the nursery that morning, and I'm getting Granny out of the car, and she tells me, "Well, I thought we were never going to make it. I thought we were going to get divorced before we got here."
Why don't you ask the question, who's the best driver in the family?
The best driver?
Mm-hmm. And let's say 1, 2, 3.
I don't know who the best driver would be.
I know who the worst driver would be.
Okay, let's do it. 1, 2, 3.
Meredith.
Oh, oh, worst or best? I was saying worst. You're the best.
Oh, thank you.
Well, she had a wreck.
The best driver yet.
They hit her.
She's never had
Melissa's
one.
Melissa's the worst, and I'm right behind her.
She goes too fast.
Melissa doesn't even look at the road.
I think you might have passed her up.
Going 85.
No.
With blinders on. You did pass me up, Mother, and we all know it, and you won't admit it. All right.
You're not a good driver, though.
I know I'm not a good driver. I've got a lot going on in my life.
We all determined if you went on the family
She's not driving
girls'
me.
Christmas trip, we would not go if you drove us.
Hey, I don't mind being chauffeured around. I'm sorry that y'all think that I need to drive. I got a lot going on in my life.
Well, we need Big Darla, but we don't want you at the helm.
I got to check my phone. Meredith, on the other hand, don't have a dadgum thing going on in her life. She can drive. Nobody's trying to call her.
On that note,
she's a good driver.
It's time. See
y'all
later.
Michelle are both good drivers.
They are. They really are. Meredith, you're very good driving the speed limit. Now, last question.
I hate you.
She's just staring me down right now. Okay, last question. Melba, how do you personally stay brave?
I pluck my chin hairs.
Good Lord.
Granny said, good Lord.
I get up and go to work every day. And I work really hard. And I don't shirk my responsibilities. I think that's a bravery.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Because I sometimes want to just crawl under the covers and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But I make myself keep going.
That's good. Meredith?
I see my kids watching. So I want what they see to be a person that's living brave, that's making sometimes the hard choices, the tough choices, but the ones that are also sometimes going to be a risk. And just the other day, having a conversation with Jillian about, you know, some changes for us as a family, and Jake and I talking about the fact that we want them to see us make those decisions. You know, we've been praying together about something as a family, and God came through, and we're excited about the change, but being able to tell her that God came through, God showed up, and that mom's going to do something different, mom's going to be brave. It was fun to see kind of her eyes light up, and I want to be that for them. So that's what makes me brave.
Mom?
I don't know. I just feel like when you face challenges over and over and over and over and you keep popping back up, I think there's a certain amount of bravery in that. I'm not nearly as brave as I want to be. But again, what little bit I have, I think, would come from up above.
Mm-hmm. Granny, how do you stay brave?
Well, I don't have as many challenges as I used to, but I just try to pray every day. And when I was working sometime, I'd come home and I'd be upset and I'd pray and I'd go to bed the next morning. I just forgot all about it and then say, aren't you still mad? No, I'm not mad.
I think that it's interesting that I just asked 4 very outspoken women how they remained brave. And you thought about it. You had to think long and hard. In fact, we paused for a little bit and edited some time out so that y'all could think. Because we are our own worst critics. And we think, I've seen brave in other people. And what I'm doing is not brave. The fact that you are all in this room with me right now. The fact that we have come this far. The fact that our marriages are intact. And we're raising children to fear a holy God. Is bravery in itself. When you buried Papa. And you kept going. When Melba buried Donald young and kept moving. When my mother is right, all the things and all the hits, and she keeps returning to her first love. That's bravery. May we not ever have to stall when we think about it. You chicken fried women. I love you all. I love you, Meredith Ann.
Love you too.
I love you, Aunt Melba.
Love you too.
I love you, Mama.
I love you too.
Granny, I love you so much. You too. But you're a toot.
But she's our toot.
But I wasn't born in the Wilmans family. I've looked at it from a different distance.
Mm-hmm. But she got here as fast as she could.
But I've tried to stay faithful to what they love. You know, they used to have people that would call them on Christmas morning just to hear them sing Silent Night. That was the best Christmas they could think of. And they'd all get around that phone and sing Silent Night.
You know, a lot of people celebrate Christmas in July, and this podcast is coming out in July. So, on that note, let's end in Silent Night. You ready? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Merry Christmas, chicken fried women.
Merry Christmas.
Family, it's hard, y'all. Maintaining it, keeping it healthy, forgiving and starting over and loving and serving. It isn't easy, but it's worth it. So worth it. Family, the having one, the doing life with one, is a miracle, really. But as we know, miracles are all around us. We just get so used to seeing them, we call them ordinary things. Till next time.